Proverbs, somewhere in there. I'm going to speak this morning about something I have a great deal of history with, that I understand well, that I don't like about me. We're going to talk about the compelling problem of anger. I grew up a very angry young man. I've shared this before. I tried to kill both of my brothers in a fit of anger. Didn't even know it. Anger was a part of my life for many years. I struggled with it. I would get so angry I would black out. I had no knowledge of what was happening. And then I came to Christ. And I'd like to say, just like that, it went away. Unfortunately, it didn't. But the book of Proverbs addresses a great deal about anger. William Arnott, the great 19th century preacher, penned these words. He said, "Tell me the specific rebuke that most thickly dot the pages of the Bible, and I will tell you the specific sins that most easily beset mankind. In that glass we may behold our own defilements and dangers. If any vice is often reproved in the Word of God, you may be assured it springs prolific in the life of man." And in the book of Proverbs, anger is spoken of over and over and over and over again. In the spring of 1894, the Baltimore Orioles came to Boston to play a routine baseball game. But what happened that day was anything but routine. The Orioles' John McGraw got into a fight with a Boston third baseman. Within minutes, the entire population of both teams exploded out onto the field in a brawl. Everyone observed, and all of a sudden, the warfare broke out in the stands. Among the fans, the conflict went from bad to worse. Someone set fire to the stands. The entire ballpark burned to the ground. Not only that, but the fire spread to 107 other Boston buildings as well. Anger. Woody Hayes, perhaps the greatest football coach in Big Ten history, used his volatile nature and his strong belief in the running game to win 3 national titles and 4 Rose Bowl championships during 28 years at Ohio State. Great man. When I was in high school, Bear Bryant and him were the stars. I mean, they were the football coach heroes. But Woody Hayes' career ended in disgrace in 1978. During the Gator Bowl, a Clemson player intercepted a pass and ran out of bounds right in front of Woody. And Woody went out and pummeled him in front of the entire stadium. And it was televised on TV. And he was done. Not long ago, well, it's several years now, but a well-known basketball player physically attacks his own coach, choked him twice to the point that he passed out. Cost him a multi-million dollar contract, a year-long suspension from the NBA. And when they asked him, "Why did you do it?" he said, "I just lost it." Sound familiar? Are you guilty? Anybody here have guilt? Okay, see, and we aren't all alone. See, there are a few honest people amongst us. I'd like to start with the comment that all anger is not sin. We get wrapped up in the idea that somehow if you're angry, it's sin. But Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, said, "Be angry and sin not," in Ephesians chapter 4. God is said to be angry with the wicked every day. That's not sin. Jesus' very real demonstration of anger when he took a cat of nine tails and drove the money changers out of the temple, demonstrated grief over sin. Grief over sin equated anger. So all sin is not, or all anger is not sin. But only sin, only anger against sin is not sin. How does that make that, does that make statement? Anger is an emotion. Anger is an emotion. God gives us emotions to make us whole. The emotion of anger is a gift from God. God gives us that emotion. Just like he gives us the emotion of joy, and sadness, and all the others. They make us whole. But every emotion has to be mastered. If you don't master an emotion, that emotion masters you. If our only time we were ever really angry was because of sin in our lives, it would never displease God. Proverbs gives us some important insights into this emotion. First of all, you see how emotions are, or how anger is manifested in our life. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, "Don't make friends with a hot-tempered man. Don't associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." Just a casual reading of the passage reveals there are probably two different ways that emotion is revealed in our lives. It's demonstrated in the two terms, angry, hot-tempered man, and one easily angered. Almost every one of us in this room probably struggles some with anger. We do it one of two ways. We have the internalizer. You know, the guy that you say, "What's wrong?" And he says, "Nothing." And you can tell by the bulging jaw muscles and the eyeballs poking out that there is seriously something wrong. Internalize. This is the guy that knows his anger is wrong, but he's going to enjoy it anyhow. Bridges says that living with this type of person is like living with a house that's on fire. He's always doing a slow burn. His anger eats him up on the inside. It's a self-destructive type of anger. He's sullen, he's tense, he's irritable, he's miserable. The lousy company says nobody wants to be around them, so they become more tense and irritated and frustrated, and the cycle just continues to revolve. Nobody likes living with somebody who's angry all the time and just sitting and sullen and soaking and irritating. Then there's the other one is the type that's a hot-tempered guy. This is the guy that's always losing his temper. Proverbs says of him that he that is soon angry deals foolishly. In other words, he plays the fool. You know, do you have that problem? Are there holes in your wall where you punched it through? When I was in the military, we had a guy who was angry all the time. And one day he came in and he was angry and he punched the wall and he hit a stud and broke his hand in four places. Walked around with it in a cast for months. Did you get that proverb? He that is soon angry acts the fool. Do you break things? Do you throw dishes? You break windows? Do you scream abusively at others? This is not just guys. One wonderful Sunday afternoon, I was counseling a young couple at my house, and the wife stood out in the yard and screamed obscenities at me. Because I wouldn't take her side against her husband. God says that's acting a fool. Men and women both struggle with anger. We excuse it much more in men than we do in women. Women feel more restrained. In fact, my experience has been that most women are the ones that internalize, and men tend to be the ones who are explosive, because somehow it's just okay for a man to be mad. Alexander the Great, an incredible strategist, great soldier. At one time, one of his boyhood friends, he'd been promoted to general in the army, and Alexander and him and some other of his command leadership were spending a little time imbibing in, they call them adult beverages, I call them idiot beverages, but they were drunk, and his boyhood friend began poking fun at Alexander, and Alexander, in just a moment of rage, grabbed a spear and hurled it at him with the intent of scaring him. And at the last instant, his friend turned around and caught it correctly, directly in the heart, and it killed him instantly. And Alexander spent the next 7 months in the deepest of depression, repeatedly attempting suicide because his anger had cost him the life of his best friend. Anger is a horrible, horrible, horrible master. I don't know where we are. Let's see if we can get through this and we'll figure out where we are. So we're going through this real fast, so you aren't going to be able to write it all down. There's where it comes from. Anger, Proverbs 21:24 says it this way, the King James. Proud and haughty, scorner is his name, the one who deals in proud wrath. Insight into anger. Insight into the heart of man. Pride is the cause of our anger. I have rights. You can't do that to me. We get angry. Perhaps the most pitiful words penned are in regard to angry people. Proverbs 25:28 says it this way. It says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. This is the person who's at the mercy of the invader. The evil one. The angry man who gives into this one ungoverned passion falls into sin, offering little resistance. you're an angry person, whether you're a toothpick biter or an explosive person, if you give in to the emotion of anger, you really are giving in to pride. God has some grim things to say to you, for there are some results in anger. Proverbs 27, 3 through 4 says, a stone is heavy and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger outrageous. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up wrath, and a furious man abounds in transgression. A wrathful man stirs up strife. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. And I like this, I've always liked this. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter. The wringing of the nose brings forth blood. And so the forcing of wrath brings strife. Wrath brings strife. A couple of things that naturally flow from the angry person. The fact of strife. Strife. Conflict between people. Fighting. Quarreling. Bitterness. Distrust. That's the lot of the man or woman who gives vent to their anger. Because it always creates a return in kind. It's interesting, over the years of counseling that I've done, what I've found is that if you bring two people in and they are at odds with each other, he will say it at this level and she will say it at this level. And then he will say it at this level, and then she will say it at this level, and it continues to escalate until they're standing nose to nose to each other and yelling at each other and just in hot, red-faced, passionate anger. Because nobody's going to get above me. It brings strife. It abounds in transgressions. Have you ever noticed how you sort of lose control when you get angry? This is the thing that saved my life. When I finally figured out that what happened when I lost my temper is I lost my hold on sanity. I was working on an airplane in Japan. I was repairing a repair that someone else had put on it. We had an E6 that put a repair, you'll appreciate this. We had an E6 that did a repair on an aircraft, did a terrible job. The inspector came along, chewed my hiney out for it, and I had to refix it. He came, the E6 came out, and he was giving me instructions on how to make this repair. I'd been out drinking the night before. I was seriously hungover. I was incredibly angry, and I began elucidating his family heritage. And he recognized by the inflamed face and the verbal barrage that he was not welcome there. And he turned around and went back into the shop, and as he went through the door, I threw the hammer at it, and it hit the door, and the warrant officer walked out. Make a fool out of yourself. Anger is, when you give vent to it, you lose your sanity. And it escalates. As you let it go, it just takes more and more and more of your life until you have no life of your own. Anger abounds in transgression. But more dreadful than all that are the consequences. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier. It's harder to bear. Putting things back together or trying to repair relationships are very difficult. Sometimes they're impossible. You know, you can't unsay said words. Oh, they're only words, but you can't take them back. My brother has developed dementia. The last time I went to see him, I don't go to see him anymore, because the last time I went to see him, when I walked in the room, he physically moved backwards. His eyes were huge. He was terrified of me. I suspect that he is still reliving the day that he smacked me across the face and I grabbed a hunting knife and I backed him into the wall and I would have gutted him if he had not, my dad hadn't stepped up and knocked me down. I don't really remember how I got from where I was sitting, getting the knife, backing him in the corner. You can't undo it. Nothing happened. My dad stopped it. But you can't undo the past. And anger, when you allow it to have rule in your life, will absolutely scar you the rest of your life. The divine consequences. Oops, back up here. The divine consequences is that there's going to be punishment. The proverb says in chapter 19 and verse 9, says the angry person, he shall suffer punishment. So how do we deal with anger? We could spend a lot of time talking about anger. Like I said, I've got lots of history about it. It's troubled some of the greatest men in the world. Dying Emperor Valentinian said, among all my conquests, there is but one that now comforts me. I have finally overcome my worst enemy, my own prideful, haughty heart. The philosopher Diogenes is said to have remarked to the great Emperor Alexander, remember the one who conquered the world, he said, thou art a slave of slaves for those appetites which I rule. You are still a slave. Self-control. The mighty Tsar of Russia said, I can govern my own people, but I can't govern myself. Those are pitiful words. At 30, Alexander had subdued the great world, but I have yet not subdued the little world myself. How do you deal with anger? Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Now, what I'm going to say might sound crazy, but I'm going to tell you what that passage of Scripture tells you is that anger is a choice. You choose anger. Oh, no, Pastor, that is impossible. When I get angry, I am absolutely out of control. I just can't control it. Let the preacher knock on the door. I've gone out knocking on doors, and you knock, you can hear, you walk up to the door, and you hear him inside just at each other. You knock on the door. Oh, Pastor, how wonderful that you're here. Because we can control our anger. We choose not to. And the problem, as I've said, is that anger just builds in us. Anger is a choice. Wisdom gives patience. Wisdom gives patience. It's to his glory to overlook an offense. Prudence, wisdom, good thinking leads to restraining anger by choice. That's what it says. It's laudable. It's commendable. Remember, this is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, these are God's words written to us. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It's his glory when he overlooks an offense, when he chooses not to get angry about it. When God says it's commendable to hold our anger in check, perhaps that should be a large enough encouragement for us to do so. Often much of our anger is a habit. Verse 19 of chapter 19 and verse 19 says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if you deliver him, yet thou must do it again. I never threw another wrench while I was in the military. You know why? That warrant officer came over and he had a little discussion with me. And the next time, I would have been in the military a little longer because brig time don't count on your enlistment. And he was very forcible in those words. If you deliver him, you have to deliver him again. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Anger does not have to master you. In his book, Killing Giants and Pulling Thorns, Chuck Swindoll wrote some great suggestions for overcoming bad habits. There's number one, stop rationalizing. Don't make comments like, well, that's just like me. I've always been like that. I guess I'll always be like that. I just have a hot temper. After all, I'm Swedish or I'm German or I'm Irish or I'm... You know, every one of them say the same thing. Well, I can't help it. I'm... Whatever nationality I am, we all are angry like that. Those excuses take the edge off of what we know it is, which is disobedience to God. It causes us to diminish or even to ignore what God's Spirit is trying to do in our lives. You know, sometimes when people do things to us that we don't like, often it's what God is trying to work out of our lives. And we don't like that. A lady once came to Billy Sunday, and she said, she was trying to rationalize some angry outbursts, and she said, "There's nothing wrong with my temper. I blow up, and then it's all over." And Sunday walked over to her, stood right up to her, almost touched her nose, and said, "That's exactly what happens with a shotgun, and look at what the disaster and destruction that it creates." We tend to excuse ourselves. We tend to rationalize our sin. We rationalize our sin in many areas, but today what I want to talk about is rationalizing our sin of anger. Second point he makes is apply a strategy. Inch by inch, anything's a cinch. But by the yard, it's all hard. Anger, if you say, "Oh man, I'm angry about everything," find out what it is you're angry about and begin working on one thing. If you and your wife have difficulties, start there. Develop a strategy. How am I not going to be angry? Well, the next time she yells at me, I choose not to yell back at her. I had a couple in my office, and they had this pattern, and they were in my office repeatedly, and they went through this where they would just escalate until it would get out of control, and she'd walk out and slam the door after she commented on my family heritage and some other things. She'd leave the office. And then she'd call 3-4 days later and apologize and ask if they could come back in. And they really wanted to work on their marriage, and they wanted to make it work. And this was a repeated habit. It happened several times. And so one day when they were in there, I said, "Okay," I brought her husband in, and I said, he's a genius guy. He's a radio host. He's a nationally known guy. He's dead now, but he was an interesting, brilliant fellow. And I said, "What was his first name?" Just lost it, just like that. I shouldn't have asked you. Yeah, I said to him, "I said, look, when she starts yelling, I want you to start talking softer." And so she'd start yelling, and he started talking here. And then she'd talk a little louder, and he'd talk a little softer. And she'd talk a little louder, and she'd talk a little softer. And it wasn't long until he was whispering to her. And she finally said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I choose not to fight." That was the turning point in our relationship. One single strategy. And it didn't come from me, it came from Jacques Swindoll. I just read it to her, or to him. The second thing probably maybe is to be, don't expect that you're going to win all the time. You know, overcoming any bad habit, you got to realize that sometimes you're going to fail. But don't excuse that fail with saying, "Oh man, I can't win." Say, "I'm going to do better the next time." It won't be easy. Overcoming habits are hard. Alcoholics have the same problem. They have a habit. They develop a habit. And the way they resolve their problems is to have a drink. And overcoming that is hard, but it's no harder for them than it is for you overcoming anger. It's just that, "Oh man, alcoholics, they're such losers." Yeah, we are. so is anyone who surrenders to sin. And anger, not directed at sinful things, is sin. Be encouraged and start today. Be encouraged. For me, when I began to get a handle on my anger, when I began to realize that I could choose not to be mad, it was so liberating. It was absolutely liberating. But the biggest problem is the same problem I had when I had to quit smoking. Start today. I'm going to do that next week. New Year's Day, I'm going to have a New Year's resolution. I'm going to stop smoking. Well, I didn't do too good this year, so for Lent, I'll give up smoking. For my birthday, I'm going to quit smoking. You start today! If you're angry, get to work on it today. Today is absolutely the best day in the world to start getting a handle on it. If you put it off, it's an admission of defeat. Alcoholics face that all the time. Today, I choose to be sober. And then celebrate that day. And tomorrow, I choose to stay sober. How does God want me to handle it when those icy fingers of rage begin to wrench at my gut? Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. The King James has it, he keeps it in until afterwards. J. Adams translates it, the wise man holds it back and quiets it. It's where the idea of counting to 10 comes from. There was a Christian statesman from a century ago. He used to say, count to 10 when you're angry. Count to 50 when you're very angry. Count to 100 when you're in a rage, before you speak one word. Use anger to redirect your emotions. You feel that anger burning inside you. You take a hold of it. You keep it under control. And you say, okay, what am I really angry about? Is it my pride being hurt? Is there some wrong involved here? Work on fixing the problem rather than spewing all over it. The goal of those who... that passage really is kind of pointed at those people who blow up. But I don't want you to get the idea that somehow if you can just take your anger and push it down inside, that makes you okay. Because the guy who's biting his toothpick off and his eyes are bulging out and his cheeks are all bunched out and he's saying, nothing's wrong, is no better than the person that blows up. A wise man keeps himself under control. That idea is that you take that anger, that passion, that emotion that you feel, and you find out what is the problem and you address that issue. We need to learn how to breathe before we speak. Anger is a is a drug. It really is. When you get angry and you blow up, you feel so empowered. And so that's why when you see these couples in a fight, it goes choo, 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 and this bounce keeps getting bigger and bigger because it feels so good to let all that rage out. But it's destructive. You know what the most important lesson I ever learned about controlling my anger was? To confess it as sin to God. To take those few moments when I felt that burning passion coming up in me and say, Lord God, please, I confess this is sin. This is not from you. This is from me. That really was where I began to find freedom. Because when you confess your sins to God, what does he do? 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession of sin, anger as sin, really is liberating. It breaks the bondage that you're in. Holy mackerel, I'm way late, huh? Let's see if I can finish this up without making it too late. Make steps in a logical sequence. Keep your emotions under control. Give them to the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 15:28 says, the mind of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The mind of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. I'm going to send you home with that. Let's pray together. Father, we've talked about an issue that is so compelling and it's so much a part of our human frame. And yet, Lord, we know that when we do these things, we damage our testimony in the world as believers. We wound those people we love the most. We bring shame upon ourselves and we bring guilt. Lord, I pray that we could all honestly recognize our part in the sin of anger. And give us the ability, Father, to choose forgiveness instead of anger. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
powers nor wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. What should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my
perfect sacrifice that changed everything. We thank you for your love for us, and we just pray that as we go from this place, that your love and your spirit at work in our lives would just compel us to be different because of you. We pray that you would humble our hearts and help us to allow you to be at work in our lives.